following has been produced by PutThemInASong.com.
My name is Shane Yoder. I write songs for a living. And every day, I hear stories transform into songs. Now you can too. Welcome back to The Root Note. Jessica is getting married. As she said, her and her dad have been dreaming about her wedding day her entire life. She really wants the daddy-daughter dance to be special. And she says, quote, "Finding just one song to hold that kind of affection seems impossible to me. Can you do the impossible?" Well, maybe. But after reading her details, I got a little worried. She wanted the lyrics to be looking back and funny. She wanted the music to have a slow dance feel. She said her dad's favorite music is Steve Miller Band, ZZ Top, and MC Hammer. But here's the kicker. Her and her dad always thought MC Hammer would be involved in that dance somehow. So the result is one of the most unique daddy-daughter dance songs I've ever written. This is It's Your Fault. Just to let you know, this episode is compiled of two interviews. One with Jessica herself, and then one with Jessica and her mom and dad.
Shane?
Yeah.
It's Jess.
How you doing?
I'm good. So everybody was able to make a call. Give me a quick second and I'll grab them. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, Joy, can you hear Shane too?
Yes, I can, sweetheart.
All right, we're all here. Gang's all here.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
We are ready to make a song, I guess, or something to that effect, from what I'm being told.
Jessica told me that she wanted to make you cry.
Well, changing up old memories and things like that will kind of bring a tear to a tough guy's eye once in a while, I guess.
Yeah, definitely will. I get that all the time.
Call is now being recorded.
So, where did you grow up?
In Florida, just south of Tampa Bay in a little town called Ruskin. Which, unless you're a tomato wholesaler, you probably have never heard of Ruskin. But if you have anybody who's retired to the area, you've probably heard of Sun City Center, which is our next door neighbor.
What do you remember your childhood being like?
I was always a book nerd, which my parents totally wanted for me. I've heard stories about mom and dad both like reading to me while my mom was still pregnant. So my hobbies were, I remember weekends going through and like stacking up all of my little golden books, if you remember those. Mm-hmm. And my goal on a Saturday was to read every single one of my golden books. So I was kind of a book nerd.
Did you have those Pizza Hut stickers or
rewards things? Yeah.
Oh,
You did all that too? Okay.
For sure. The Book It, it's called Book It, right? Book It was where you got all the free, like, personal, oh my gosh, yeah. I think they were only certain nights, maybe you'd go on like Wednesday nights or something.
I vaguely remember.
There was a Pizza Hut right up the road from us that we used to go to all the time. So that was a big one. And then there was like a little mom and pop ice cream shop. So the Pizza Hut I would go to like cash in my Book It like free pizzas, and then the little mom and pop ice cream shop dad always took me to if I had like, you know, principal's honor roll or whatever for my grades. So I got to get a lot of ice cream at the end of, you know, semesters.
I know a lot of people don't really have a first memory of like their parents, but do you have one that you can remember?
I guess. And I don't even know if it's so much a distinct specific memory or if it was just kind of one of my favorite things when I was little growing up. But when, and it was true whether it was while my parents were still married or, you know, once my stepmom came into our lives, like they would wake me up for breakfast and I would come out to the kitchen table and sit down with dad and we would watch the Flintstones in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I was little. And I think maybe the Jetsons came on after the Flintstones, but we didn't like them as well. But yeah, eating my cereal and hanging out with dad and waking up, that was always my favorite way to start the day.
You said your dad loves to laugh.
Oh my gosh.
And What's his sense of humor like?
Oh, you know, it's dynamic, I think would be the best way to describe it, because he can find humor in just about anything. And I, you know, if there's more than one person around, Dad's going to find something to laugh about or joke about, unless he's super busy with work or, you know, somebody's irritated him, which is, you know, a different mood altogether. But, yeah, he just likes to be silly. Sometimes it'll be at his own expense. Sometimes it'll be, you know, not. But I don't know another way to describe it. He'll find the happy in just about anything.
So many memories, to be honest with you. But being that the family is here, I you know, the first thing that comes to mind, to be honest with you, was Jesse's birth. I could bore you for hours with war stories, the deployments, and all the rest of it. But honestly, the main thing that sticks out in my head from my career was 1985 and January, freezing cold, February, the whole thing. It was just freezing over, and then I made sure we had purchased a Jeep, and there was nothing that was going to keep me from making sure this baby was there when she was supposed to be. So that's honestly, as you know, 6 years of service and the birth of my daughter is the thing that sticks out most in my head of all the stuff that went on. So when Jesse was born there at Ellsworth Air Force Base, everything else that I had accomplished up to that point seemed like nothing, to be honest. And so the one nurse says, "Come on, Dad, you're taking your daughter down to the nursery." And I'm like, "Okay, you know." I said, "Here we go." So off we went and got down to the nursery. And I was like, "Well, I guess, you know, where do you want me to put her?" And he says, "Oh, you just hang on to her." And the nurse sat me down in the rocking chair. He says, "Dad, you get to feed your daughter her first bottle." And I'm like, "Come on. Check this out." You know, so I thought it was pretty amazing, right? Right from birth, walked her down to the nursery, got to sit in the rocking chair, and love on my little girl.
More than anything, I remember hanging out while Dad was working on the race car. He had a street stock at the time, is what they were called. I think they're called something different now, but his car at the time was number 74, and it was red and white and silver, and just all of my childhood pictures, I think, shouldn't say all of them, but a lot of them have that race car in it. But he would be working on that, and I would have my roller blades on or my bicycle out, or my grandma had those little battery-operated kid-sized Jeeps that I would drive around in her yard while he was working on the race car, or I'd just be sitting on top of some of the pictures we have, or me sitting on top of the hood of the race car, or if he was taking it for a test drive around the neighborhood, which I'm sure was a favorite of the neighbors.
It was legal back then.
Was Jesse a good kid?
I was the best, Shane. I was perfect. One of the most parts, hey, he was good.
I can only think of one real rough spot, and other than that, she was the absolute epitome of a daughter that any dad could ever dream of having.
Well, you did mention a rough spot. Is that something you want to talk about?
No, that was a part of growing up.
And her fast driving. Driver's away from her because she thought she was a speed racer there. Yeah. She was a NASCAR driver.
I do come by that honestly as well, though, let's be honest.
We used to go to some of the big races we would go to. I guess it kind of rubbed off on her, and her dad raced. He raced also.
Well, and my stepmom was around when I was learning to drive. She's no innocent, let's be real.
So you're going to blame it on the stepmom.
I am a product of these folks who created me, so I blame it all on him.
That's no true. Personal responsibility in any of this.
Well, it didn't help when you sat her in your lap and let her drive the truck all over the parking lot when she
was this truck.
Baby.
And the race car and the forklift. Yep.
And the forklift, yeah.
You want to tell the listeners why you love the smell of diesel fuel?
Well, so it's not just diesel fuel, but it's also racing fuel.
Okay.
So I still call him Daddy. So Daddy had a pickup. You know, I was looking at pictures online. I always thought it was a 1985, but I don't know if that was just something I imposed because that was the year I was born. But I looked at some of those 1985 F-150s, and they didn't have the same body style. So I'm not sure what year it was. But he was in the Air Force, and I was born on Ellsworth Air Force Base out in South Dakota. So we actually moved to Florida, I believe, in that pickup. But I remember just hours and hours and hours in that truck. And apparently, when I was little, if I couldn't sleep, he would take me out in that pickup. And so the sound of diesel engine and the smell of diesel fuel, it reminds me of Dad. And of course, he was a mechanic, too. He was a mechanic in the Air Force. And he was a mechanic by trade after he got out before he and Joy started the business. And so even the smell of fuel, like he would come home, of course, he would smell like having been at work. So all of that just reminded me of Dad. And I'm such a daddy's girl. I just love that stuff. So, and like I said, same thing for the sound of a race car engine starting or the smell of race fuel. It all kind of just smells like Dad sometimes.
I can understand that. She said one of her favorite memories of you, Gary, is in your F-150.
We had practiced basketball earlier in that day, and we were doing, after we got done, I said, okay, you did good. You really didn't want to play basketball, and I forced you into it because you had signed up, you had made a commitment, and I wasn't going to let you go back on that commitment, so I rewarded you with, you know, because you went the extra mile and went on Saturday and practiced with your dad so I could teach some things about basketball. And I said, okay, I know one thing that she really loves is driving. So I put her behind the wheel of the truck. I laid some cones out. We were in an open parking lot. And I showed her how to, and it was on top of everything else, besides being a long pickup truck, you know, extended pickup truck, 3/4 ton diesel. It was a manual, even harder yet. And this 15, 16-year-old kid, she got in there. I said, okay, this is how you do it. She got in there. I rode with her a couple times with it. And next thing you know, she had it under control all by herself within a few hours. So,
Jessica did say that she loves the smell of racing and diesel fuel. And
she said it was because of you, Gary.
There was a few weekends when I had to work, and so I thought, you know, why not? So I took the kid with me to work, and you know, there was an occasion or two when we had to move stuff around on a forklift. So I had this cute little blonde hair and pigtails with her dad riding around the plant on a forklift. So yeah, I did that. I don't work there anymore, I can admit it.
I was always one of the tallest kids in my class. And then middle school, I was by far, like, girlfriend named Jen. Jen and I, so Jen and Jessica were the two tallest kids in our class for 2 years. Because guys hadn't caught up, and then we hit high school. The guys started to catch up a little bit, but I was still like one of the probably three tallest girls in high school as a freshman. And so I remember walking down the hallway, and this little bitty lady, she just comes like zipping out of nowhere, and she comes up and starts talking to me, and I just thought it was the strangest thing. She was too old to be a student, but I didn't think she was a teacher either, so I had no idea why she was chatting with me. Turns out she was a basketball coach for the girls' team. And essentially she was recruiting me in the hallway in between classes.
When you sent that story in the email, you said one of the coaches creeped me in the hallway, and I'm like, what in the world is going on here? Until I read further, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, when I typed it up initially, like the Word document flagged it. They're like, this is not a whole sentence, because it couldn't figure out what creeped was a verb. Like, they didn't know what was going on there. I guess I didn't really proof it, because it does sound, sounds like somebody could have gotten in trouble for that, but that's not, right. That wasn't the case. She just found a tall girl, and she's like, you're coming with me.
Yeah.
I was already imagining your dad storming
into the high school. And
yeah, you had a different picture of where that was headed, for sure.
Yeah.
She mentioned a few of her favorite moments when you were trying to teach her. Do you have any memories that you can think of?
Well, I remember we had a basketball hoop set up at the house, and some of the young guys, you know, they'd always want to come over for, you know, here's this adorable looking young lady. So they thought, oh, come over here and show off and, you know, show this young girl how to play some basketball. Well, she whooped them into shape real quick, and it was kind of just kind of grounded the young men a little bit more, I thought. And I was that's one thing I remember. And you know, the fact that more than anything, she really didn't want to play basketball. You know, after she got in it, and it was like the first week, she was like, "I don't want to do it. No one do it." Joy was telling me, don't make her do it. I said, no. This is one of these moments in life that if you get used to saying, I'm just going to quit, you quit. You can't establish that. You have to, when you make a commitment and say you're going to do something, you're doing your work. Now, if you're in a situation where they can say, or would say, no, we don't need you, or we don't want you, thank you for trying, then that's a different story. But when you say you're going to do it, they're depending on you to do it, I make sure you do it.
And I remember telling my dad about it, and I just thought it was the weirdest thing. Well, he had always been a jock in high school. He was very athletic, and he was into baseball and basketball and the whole deal. But he was so excited about it that I went out for basketball, and I made the team. I was terrible. I was terrible the 2 years that I played, but I remember Dad telling me that we don't quit. So even halfway through both seasons, I wanted to quit. He's like, that's not a thing we do. He said, if you don't want to go back out next year, that's one thing we can talk about, but you're not quitting in the middle of the season, period. And so we didn't. But my favorite thing about basketball was that Dad would come to the practices. He would come to volleyball practice too, but I wasn't as bad at volleyball, but he'd come to the practices. He would come to the games. He was one of the loudest parents at the games. He was definitely the team dad. And then on the weekends and weeknights, when he had time and he wasn't working, he would take me down to the local Catholic church, and they had basketball courts that they let the community use, and we would shoot free throws. And I remember one night I was just off. I mean, I was worse than normal. And Dad was just, I mean, he was just being as much of a cheerleader as he could be. It was pretty bad. But he's like, no, we're going to keep going until you get one, because we're going to leave on a good note. And he was starving, and it was dinner time, and I was starving. So we get a little hangry. So it was an interesting thing, but we did. I got one, and then I was like, no, I want to get a few more. So I landed a few more before we left, and we left on a high note. And that was always his thing. He's like, it's okay. It's okay if you're not doing well, but you just keep trying to get better. And that was, you know, obviously a theme from parents for my kids, right?
And some of the things that Jessie has done in her life, whether it's a test or the next advancement, or studying for a new project or something to that effect, I can see where putting your mind to doing something and that has lasted with her. And I can't tell you just how proud I am of how far she has gone after she got out of college in her career, just because of her determination to do as good as she can possibly do. She told me some guy, she was at a meeting somewhere, and some guy made the god-awful mistake of saying, okay, kiddo. And she's like, what are you doing using that? Well, only my father uses that with me, you know? So So that was, yeah. I kind of got a little bit of a chuckle off of that one.
Why are you a daddy's girl?
Well, I mean, in part, I'm an only child, and of course, dad, like, I think dad always wanted a big family, and he ended up with me, and I think I was personality enough to make up for not having, you know, three other kids. He likes to tell the story when I was born and he held me for the first time. He looked down and it was just his world changed. And of course, I don't know what it was like before, but he spent his life making sure that his little girl was taken care of. I don't know why I was as a kid, besides he was like my best friend and he made me laugh and I liked to hang out with him and we played. But looking back, I know why I'm still a daddy's girl for sure. So dad had been working at Ringhaver, which is now Ring Power for anybody who follows it or owns the stock, which a lot of people do if they have retirement accounts. But he was working there and he had become, he'd moved into like supervisory or management of some sort with them. And it was a good opportunity, but it also meant that he was working a lot of nights. She gave my stepmom a little more freedom to try and find something different. She had been working a couple of different places, and it just didn't seem to fit, and it didn't really fit for them raising a daughter. Of course, Joy's family, I mean, just generations of entrepreneurs, so she kind of has that spirit and that kind of background. And so she wanted to start a business. And we have a lot of connections in, like, auto body shops. And I don't know how much you know about auto body shops, but if you ever get in a car accident and you have to get your car, like, fixed or painted, they have these little paint booths that they have to go into because all of the air that comes out of them has to be at a certain level to be able to go back into the atmosphere, EPA regulated, all that kind of stuff. So they are very highly filtered in those booths, and as much paint as goes through there, those filters have to be changed just constantly. Some places have to do them every couple of days. So she wanted to provide some of that filter, see if that was something that could be a viable business. So she decided that she could buy some filter material, and she bought $25 worth of material and stuck it in the back hatch of this 1985 Ford Fiesta 5-speed roll down windows. I don't even know if it had air conditioning or a cassette deck or anything else. I can't remember now, but it looked a lot like a pregnant roller skate. And she went around to these auto body shops and started selling filters. And as she tells it, you know, as soon as she'd sell some filter materials, she'd take that money and go back, buy some more, and they built it up, and now they were able to pay off their first home, and they purchased a new house just last year and helped put me through college, and you know, have been able to build a very, very successful business. That was how my stepmom came into the world. Like, she was only into our world, rather. She was only allowed in if it was okay that he was going to spend his life making sure that his family was taken care of and that she would be in that fold, and she was game for that. And she spent her life with dad doing the same. And we went through my teenage years, so we weren't always like super, super close because I was a teenager and a girl, and that was just part of life. But looking back, especially now as an adult, looking back and seeing how much he sacrificed and all he did, just to the end of making sure that I was taken care of and that Joy was taken care of. He loves it when he has his girls all in one place.
I'd imagine he would.
I was going to say that became even more exacerbated. I moved from Florida to Texas in the end of 2014. And so when I go home, it's even more, he's like, oh, my girls are in one place, my girls. She and I did a lot of stuff when I was little. As I mentioned, my dad worked nights a lot. And so one of the things that she and I used to do, she would take me to the drive-in theater that actually still operates down there in Ruskin, which is cool. And we would go in that F-150, and we'd stick a bunch of mattresses and pillows and all kinds of stuff in the back of that pickup, and we'd load up the dogs, and we'd go back into a spot at that drive-in and watch some movies and hang out, and then we'd some nights pack up dinner and go do Dad's lunch break with him. She was kind of a single mom for a few years in that regard, you know, having me at night and Dad being at work and stuff. So we got really close, and you know, again, teenagers came around, so I was a little spiteful. But I call my dad sometimes and tell him about some of the stuff that I do, and I'm like, yeah, I definitely have some of Joy's blood running through me for sure, because there was a good chunk of my personality that came because she was a part of my world. So I'm grateful that she has been and is today too.
You mentioned Gary believes you and Joy are in cahoots with each other.
Yeah, especially around Christmas time. She's always accused us of being in cahoots around Christmas presents and, you know, stuff that's going on that way. And I mean, I don't know. I'll plead the fifth on all of that. But we definitely like that it's two against one for sure.
Gary, why do you think Joy and Jessica are in cahoots with each other?
Just listen to them laugh. That should be enough to tell you. I mean, one lies and the other one swears to it. You know, it's just, you know.
Not that way at all, Terry. Oh. We're just sweet and innocent.
We just love you.
They love to aggravate me, but I mean, and they know, deep down, I enjoy every minute of it. So it's all good. So I gotta act like, you know, I get aggravated and, I'm telling all my secrets here, brother. I'm gonna have nothing after this. But Joy will find a reason that she has to buy something for Jesse. But somehow it never makes it to Jeff.
I'm saving it for her.
You mentioned you wanted MC Hammer Incorporated in it, and I'm like, I'm interested to know why.
So Dad likes music. I mean, any kind of music you can dance to, any kind of music you can sing to, if they've got good lyrics, I mean, he likes music. And so, and that's been true long before I came along. So, and that's something that, you know, that's something I inherited from him for sure. Just, you know, if it's a good song, we enjoy it. That Daisy Duke song, I can't remember who sings it, but it was a terrible song, but it had a great beat, and it was really entertaining at the time. So that, to MC Hammer, and Too Legit to Quit, and we've gone to a bunch of concerts at Tropicana Field, and down there in St. Petersburg, Florida, and still talks about seeing ZZ Top play down there. Like some of Michael Jackson songs, I don't know how old you are, Shane, but you remember Big Pimpin', that song, and Spendin' Cheese?
Say that again, you cut out. What was that?
The song about Big Pimpin' and Spendin' the Cheese.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He's dropping me off at high school, and that song came on, and he had, I don't know, he had some kind of speaker that he'd hooked up in his work band. And so this song was like blasting in the Joy Filter's work van as I was getting out of the van to go into high school, and Dad was in there just rapping away, talking about sending the cheese. And I wanted to be embarrassed, but it was so funny that I couldn't. I could not be embarrassed.
That's awful.
I mean, so Dad's like 6'3". He's a big dude. And so seeing him in this work van, like rapping to Big Pimpin', I mean, it just... I don't think it's a memory that I will ever, ever forget.
I mean, I can't imagine my dad doing that, but if I did, I know I wouldn't ever forget it. Gary, you don't happen to remember the rap you were singing when you dropped her off at school one day, do you? Big Pimpin' and Spinning the Cheese?
No, I don't. There were so many different ones. There was so many goofy stuff. I always tried to be honest with you. I would do all kinds of different things to to get her ready for that day of school when I was taking her to school, whatever it happened to be, just to get her excited instead of just, you know, boring dad's dropping me off to work. But I mean, we always had fun going, you know, whether it was doing math problems, verbally, and or just anything like that. You know, I always try to make her morning get off on the right foot, you know, and then I figured if I did that, then hopefully the rest of the day would kind of take over from that point.
Why did you want to put your dad into a song?
So I have been dating a wonderful man, and he proposed to me on 4th of July. We are planning a wedding. Being an only child and my dad being the only son from his mom, we've been talking about the father-daughter dance since, I don't know, I was knee high to a grasshopper. And I'm pretty sure even when, at one point in time, dad and I had a plan that I was going to be single forever and I was going to adopt a little Asian baby girl. I don't know why. That was just the plan I had when I was 11. And that I didn't need boys, that we were still going to have a father-daughter dance. I don't know what for, and we were just going to do it. But at that point in time, it was going to be kind of a choreographed MC Hammer type. We were going to do a whole dance and some, I don't know, moonwalking or something. I don't know. But we've been talking about the father-daughter dance forever. And, you know, my fiance's name is Mike, and Mike and I start talking about songs. And I can't imagine there's a song out there. And I think I posed it to you, can you do the impossible? I just can't imagine there's a song out there that can capture all of that, you know, all of that background, all of that, just the laughter that's been in our world, and capture kind of who he is and who he's been as a man of God, as a dad, just that whole picture. And, you know, there's all kinds of great songs out there, and they're, you know, they'll pull at your heartstrings. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're him.
Well, Gary, did she tell you why she wanted to write a song for you?
No, she didn't. I thought she said she had won something or something to that point. She had asked me when you were here last, Jess, and I had told her I was watching some YouTube videos of the father-daughter dance and the different things, and I was like, man, it just makes the old man choke. I do it at work when nobody's around, after hours and everything, so, you know, if things should start to leak from my eyes and that sort of thing, you know, nobody's there, hey, what's going on with the old man in the office now, you know? So I happened to mention it to her that I was watching some of these, and she said, well, Dad, you know, we can have our own song made. And I'm like, I'm not really worried about that. I just want to be able to enjoy the moment with you. Yeah. I am here with eyes wide open, knowing that my daughter would pull a fast one on her pops if she could on this deal.
You don't think Joy's in on it too, do you?
Oh, you know, there's the cahoots parts, brother. See, you just put one and one together. So it would not surprise me if this had been in the works for months now that you say it. So,
now, Gary,
when I get off this phone, I will start interrogating people and start finding out the whole truth.
Well, good. Tell me how that works for you. Good luck with that.
All right. I think that's my cue to get off. I don't want to be a part of that.
Shane's causing problems now.
Oh, no. Just kidding.
And now, with Erica Chambers on vocals, this is It's Your Fault.
Dear Daddy, I have some bad news. I love the smell of diesel fuel. It makes me smile, 'cause I love the trip back to your F-150 we're sitting in. I've been hooked, and like it or not, it's your interesting to me at all. But you taught me more than free throws. Like keep going till I leave on a good note. So here it is, dear Daddy, no matter what.
Been brought to you by Put Them in a Song in collaboration with MBI Studios. All guests know they are being recorded and are willing to be. All music and songs are created and scored by PutThemInASong.com. You can follow the Root Note Podcast at Root Note Pod on Twitter. If you would like to have a song or music created for you or a loved one, visit PutThemInASong.com, where you have a better voice than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Root Note.